Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Are you or someone you love being held in the grips of some addictive behavior or some past abuse? If so, next on Daily in the Word, we're going to discover recovery together with God. Stay with us. Lasting spiritual recovery is only possible by the internal transforming power of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only because of the gospel and because of the power of Jesus Christ that we can truly experience recovery from chains of addiction and abuse that bind us and haunt us for so long in life. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word and to a series entitled Recovery Together with God. This program comes to you from the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California, and features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster. You can find out more about this ministry online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On that website, you'll find plenty of resources that will encourage you in your relationship and your ongoing recovery as you walk with Jesus Christ. Today's next step of recovery is renewing my walk daily with the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Here's Paul Chapel.
We've been talking over the last several weeks about how can we, with our failures, with our hurts, with the shameful situations of our lives, come to the Lord and find His grace to be sufficient. And I've received a lot of notes and comments these last several weeks from folks who've said, you know, Pastor, God has helped me with overcoming a hurt that I've experienced, and God has helped me to forgive someone from a situation of difficulty in the past. And some have said, I've had this many days or this many weeks free from certain addictions of the past, and God is working in hearts, and for that, we're certainly thankful. You know, it's interesting because before we ever began preaching these messages, I tried to listen to what folks were saying and to some of the needs of our church family and those that I would meet out on visitation and soul winning. And you know, it's amazing that many folks struggle with various addictions. It may be an addiction with nicotine or alcohol. Some said they felt like their spouse was nearly addicted to the internet, others to television. And it just seemed like these things had become almost an idolatry to them. Others said that because of some hatred, because of a situation in the past, they just couldn't get on with their lives. They never could get past those particular situations. But you know, I've also sensed and learned as I've lived the Christian life and talked with folks trying to live the Christian life that just as you begin to have some victory and you find yourself living free from the past addiction or living free from the past anger, all of a sudden Satan will put a roadblock in the way and he'll try to hinder that progress. Satan does not want us to walk daily with the Lord. He does not want us to have total recovery from those problems of the past. And so he tries to somehow bring us a roadblock that will cause great setbacks in our life. The Old Testament prophets sometimes referred to this as backsliding, sliding backward after you had made some forward momentum. And many times people do slide backwards and they'll revert back to drinking and back to gambling and back to the addictions of the past. And along with those backward steps come those old habits we talked about, trying to control the situation or deny the situation and somehow do the damage control to say, it's not as bad as you might think. Well, I've noticed as people slide backward in their Christian walk and as they slide backward in their commitment areas to the Lord, that there seems to be a noticeable pattern of regression. Three things you might want to jot down under the introduction portion on your notes this morning. The first thing that seems to happen with someone going backward after they had some initial forward motion is complacency sets in. They become complacent. And it's sort of like they say, well, I'm doing okay now, and so I don't need to attend church every week. I don't need to read the Bible every day. I don't need to be as faithful as I've been. I'm doing better now. And so they become very complacent about spiritual things. And then the second step that seems to attach itself to many people and become a part of many people's lives is confusion. Because after complacency, people begin to rationalize. And they begin to say, well, you know, my problem was never as bad as it really seems now. It was never that bad as people said. And they become confused about how they really were addicted or how they really were hateful or how they really were angry in the past. So first comes complacency, then comes confusion. They're in the state of confusion about the problem. Thirdly comes compromise. The third step in backsliding is compromise, and that's where we say, you know, it wouldn't hurt to go back and maybe just hop on that internet site for a while, or maybe just go back to the old bar and see the old friends for a while, or it wouldn't be so bad maybe to just go with that one group for that one party one time, or whatever the case might be. And so their complacency leads them to a state of confusion, and then that confusion will lead them back to compromise. Now, it may or may not be with substance abuse or something like that, but how many of you have really tried to do well and you had some spiritual momentum, and all of a sudden you begin to slide backward? And you can relate to what I'm saying in these three steps. You'd say, I know what you're saying. It's easy to get to thinking you're doing all right, sort of like when I was a kid and I thought I was such a good guy on the bicycle that I'd hold up my hands and say, look, no hands, look at me. And then what happens? You crash every time. And so it is in the Christian life. We think we can handle some things when in reality we're utterly dependent upon God if we will have total spiritual recovery. And this morning we will see the importance of trusting the Lord, as Proverbs says, with all of our hearts. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't get complacent. Don't enter the state of confusion. Don't allow yourself to come to that place where you compromise. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How can we trust the Lord with all of our hearts? How can we know that He is working and that He will direct our paths? Well, let's notice, first of all, this morning, this question: why do Christians fail? Why do Christians fail? And how many of you know that Christians do fail? How many of you would say, I are one and I fail? All right? Christians do fail. Now, let's notice several reasons why very quickly. First of all, we fail because we rely on our own strength. We fail when we try to rely on our own strength. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5 this morning. Galatians chapter 5. This portion of Scripture has been one of the most profoundly helpful portions of Scripture in my Christian life, because it explains that the Christian life is a spiritual life. And if we are going to have God's blessing, then we cannot walk in the flesh, but we must walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, I'd like you to read that together with me. Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. Ready, begin. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, most of you will recall when Jesus met Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be, what is it? Born again. And when a person receives Christ as their Savior, they are born, as we say, of the Spirit. It's a spiritual birth. Now then, we cannot begin this Christian life in the Spirit and then walk in the flesh and expect success or victory. If it is begun by the Holy Spirit, and it is, then we must learn to walk in the Spirit day by day, to acknowledge His presence, to yield to His will, to listen to the still, small voice. And when we rely on our own strength, we're going to regress. We're going to fall back. But when we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so people fail when they think, like the kid riding his bike, that they can take their hands off and they can handle it. They fail because they're trusting in themselves rather than in God. Notice in Galatians 3 and verse 3, Galatians 3:3. You see, the church at Galatia, their entire problem was that they had started in the Spirit, but they had reverted back to the flesh. They had reverted back to their way of thinking. And so Galatians 3:3 says, "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" He said, if you started this whole thing by the power of the Spirit, do you think you're going to become mature by going back to the ways of your flesh and your reasoning? Zechariah 4 and verse 6, the prophet said, "It's not by might, it's not by your power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." And so spiritual victory comes as the Spirit of God directs us and guides us day by day. And we need to keep in mind constantly that we are to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God. You can read through Galatians 5 and you'll hear the wording, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." The Bible says in verse 19, "The works of the flesh are manifest," which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which means all kinds of wickedness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, envies, etc., etc. You see, when it comes to overcoming hurt and anger and sin and all of these things we've been preaching about, these aren't brand new problems, my friend. The lust of the flesh is as old as mankind. And so we see that when someone walks in the flesh, they're going to fulfill these activities. But the Bible says when we walk in the Spirit, there will be a different kind of fruit from our lives. And you'll notice this, please. The Bible says in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now, what a tragedy to see a Christian who has the Spirit in his life walking according to the flesh. A person that God says, "I want to give you peace," living with hatred. A person that God says, "I want to give you wholesome relationships," living in lasciviousness, fornication, whatever the verse says, according to the flesh. Now, even though we're born of the Spirit, we still have a fleshly tabernacle. We still have the old temptations. That's why the Bible says the flesh wars against the Spirit, trying to pull us away, and the Spirit wars against the flesh, trying to lead us in the way of Christ. We have the choice. We must yield to the Holy Spirit of God. And when we rely on our self instincts, and when we rely on our own impulses, we will utterly fail every time. We fail when we rely on our strength and not on the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. I heard about a middle-aged lady that visited an apartment building in New York City. She went up to the 23rd floor. She got out of the elevator, went down the hall to an apartment at the end. And as the apartment door opened, a woman came to the door, and she had on one of these flowing sort of Eastern gowns, kind of like a Hindu gown, and she had a little bells on her dress, and incense came pouring out of this apartment and so forth, and she clapped her hands as she spoke to this middle-aged woman who had knocked on the door, and she said, "Are you here to see the great Begoni, the one who knows all and sees all and understands all and has all things in control?" And the lady said, "Yes. Tell Sheldon his mother is here." And a lot of us sometimes need to be reminded that we're still Sheldon. We need to be reminded that we're not always as equipped to handle every problem as we might think. And as Christians, we are utterly dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God. Why do Christians fail? every time a Christian fails, it is because we begin to rely on our flesh, on our strength, rather than on the Spirit of God who indwells us and who wants to lead us through the Word of God. Secondly, Christians fail because we don't seek support. Christians fail because we don't seek support. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now, my friend, the Bible says that Jesus loves the church and He gave Himself for it. Listen, a church is a called out assembly of believers. We're called out from the world to identify with Christ. Now, Jesus loves the church, and it is His will that every believer is a part of the body life of a church. In other words, we all need each other here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And the Lord has designed it that way. And in 1 Corinthians, He says, the eye is no more important than the foot, and the foot's no more important than the arm, and everybody needs to work together to encourage everyone else. And so it says in Hebrews 10, 24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." That means if someone in our church is really faltering or struggling, we need to think about them and care enough for them to try to encourage them back in the ways of God. And you see, Christians fail because they simply don't seek that kind of support, or they won't make themselves available to be encouraged in that way. They will not attend maybe enough, or they will not make enough of a commitment so that someone would have the freedom to try to encourage them in that way. And we live in this freelance day of Christianity where we want to, you know, kind of determine how involved and so on and so forth, and that's fine. But the fact of the matter is that we need to recognize that as we are committed, as we are a part of a family, and as we are a part of a church family, there's greater opportunity to encourage one another to live for the Lord and to enjoy total restoration and recovery from the sins and difficulties of the past. I think, for example, this church has 20 adult Bible classes. Adult Bible classes are caring communities for believers that meet on Sundays at 10 o'clock and have monthly activities. And within those classes, there are something called care groups where several individuals pray for one another and minister to one another if there's a hospitalization or a special need. There's opportunities for discipleship through these classes where you can sit down with someone on a personal basis for a number of weeks and just kind of get grounded in your faith. But you know why Christians fail? They never take advantage of those kinds of opportunities. They never get into those classes at 10 o'clock. They never get involved in discipleship or attend some of these opportunities through the church. And because of that, we grow weak, you see. The fact of the matter is that God never intended Christianity to be a solo act. He intended for Christians to gather together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's a reference to the return of Jesus Christ. As His return draws nigh, we don't need to get lazier and lazier spiritually, but we need to be more committed to the house of God. And then the third reason that Christians fail is because we become prideful. We become prideful. Proverbs 16, 18. "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And we need to remember the lesson of the whale. When you get near the top and you're ready to blow, that's when you're going to get harpooned. And a lot of people are that way. We think we can handle it. We've arrived. Boy, we're doing great. And then all of a sudden, boom, the trial comes. Often our pride causes us to blame others. Often our pride causes us to rationalize our sin. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, 12, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Boy, don't ever say to yourself, "I'll tell you what, I'd never leave the faith and live like that guy." Don't ever compare yourself with someone else, because the truth of the matter is, but for the grace of God, any one of us could be laying in a gutter this morning. Every one of us need to just thank God for His grace in our lives. Why do Christians fail? Because we become prideful. Now, secondly, how can we prevent failure? How can we prevent failure? I don't think anyone's here today planning to fail in their spiritual walk. I think we'd like to avoid failure. And that's why the title of today's message, "Renew My Walk Daily with the Lord." It's got to be more than just a few hour a week thing. The Christian life is a relationship. Every moment of every day, we walk with Him. But how can we prevent failure? How then can we renew this walk with the Lord? Perhaps some of you have done what I've done over the years, and maybe you've attended some seminars for time management or organization. Maybe you've read some books about how to make the most out of your day and so forth. And oftentimes these seminars and books will talk about determining the core of your life, the center of your life, what matters the most in your life, what are your roles in life. And they'll talk about identifying the roles and then setting appropriate goals for those roles. And I think there's some merit to that. I think there's some merit to asking yourself, what matters most in life? And I think as I write out those roles and I review them on a daily basis, I think about my role, first of all, as a man of God. Because if I'm right with God as a man and as an individual, then the other things are going to come in their progression. I need to be right as a man of God and as a husband and as a father and as a pastor and in the other capacities that God has given to me. And I need to lay those out before the Lord on a daily basis. And I need to say, Lord, I don't want to fail in my walk with You today. I know He'll never fail me, but I don't want to fail Him. I don't want to fail my family today. I don't want to fail my church family today. I don't want to fail in this community to have the wrong testimony. And so, Lord, I want to meet with You today so that I can renew my walk with You. And I want to talk to you for a moment about preventing failure by meeting daily with the Lord. And I think, first of all, as we consider this subject of meeting with the Lord, we need to make regular evaluations of our lives with God. We need to make regular evaluations of our lives with God. And we could talk about daily, weekly, monthly, whatever, but I'm going to give you two categories this morning. First of all, daily. At the beginning of the day, we need to just stop. The Bible is replete with illustrations of the Lord Jesus Christ before the sun even came out, meeting with His Heavenly Father in prayer. Early in the morning, it says, He came and He prayed. And we need to begin our day with the Lord in this way. The Bible says in Mark 14:38, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. You see, Jesus says, I want you to watch and pray. Be on guard, because your flesh is weak. And so we need to really realize the importance of just being watchful on a daily basis. Now, as we make this daily evaluation, I've given you a little acrostic maybe to help you in the matter of that evaluation. You notice in the notes the word heart. And there are many areas that you could evaluate, but here are five for you this morning. First of all, the letter H, am I hurting today? Is there an area where I have not appropriated God's forgiveness? Is there an area that I need to deal with? Have you ever noticed that some people, it just doesn't take anything to just tick them off. I mean, it doesn't take anything before they're ready to just fight over something, or you accidentally cut them off on the road, and man, they're just ready to crash into you, and they get so frustrated. You know why sometimes even Christians get that way? Because there is unresolved hurt in their life. They've never had a daily evaluation. They've never honestly forgiven someone. So H, am I hurting? E, am I exhausted? Lord, You've given me this body as a temple, and sometimes we get to that point where we need to just pull aside and schedule for time of rest. A, am I angry? Lord, is there someone I'm angry with? Is there someone at work that I just can't wait to just give them a piece of my mind? And Lord, is that what You want me to do? R, do I resent anyone? T, am I tense, anxious, or fearful? And if I am tense, anxious, or fearful, why am I?
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're studying recovery together with God. We're discovering how to break loose from the chains of sin that bind us and how to experience the new life that really comes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Recovery with God. You can find out more about this series or listen to past messages when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you visit Daily in the Word online, I want to encourage you to take advantage of the resources that are there to help you in your spiritual growth. The first would be the podcast. You can download this program and take it with you on your device or your computer to listen to at your convenience. Also, you can refer a friend to the Daily in the Word podcast and let them be encouraged by the same preaching you receive each and every day via this broadcast. I want to encourage you to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. It's an allegory that each chapter is filled with not only a storyline, but then practical applications that will help you understand how to cast your burdens really and truthfully upon the Lord Jesus Christ and live the life that He intends you to live as His child. Again, this book is called The Burden Bearer. It's a wonderful read. Once you read it, I promise you, you're going to want everybody you know to read this book. Again, you can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Finally, on the website, you'll find a subscription link to a daily email. If you would sign up for this, you would receive a daily email from Dr. Chappell with a devotional, a word of encouragement from God's Word, and then an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading along with a chapter of Proverbs every day. And as you get this email, if you follow it throughout the year, you'll read God's Word through in 1 year. It's a great resource, and it's free at dailyintheword.org. Well, thanks for listening today. If we can serve you or be an encouragement to you, please give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Until next time, thanks for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. Have a great day.